Okay, we're ready to begin this special Chayasara related shiur that we will talk about. Again, a topic that probably have to talk about many times over the next couple of years of one's life. But this is related to dating, it's related to marriage, it's related to anniversaries, it's related to relationships. But there's no better time than Parshas Chayasara to talk about these, where we have 67 or so psukim that discuss the first shidduch that we know of in the Torah. And we don't know how Abraham and Sarah met, or we know how Yitzchak and Rivka met. And we know how Yaakov and his wives met. But it's a topic that, again, something to think about at all stages of one's life. The importance of Shalom Bayis and the relationship between a husband and a wife in Chazal, in Halacha, and in Hashkafa, and in Machshava cannot be understated. It is as we know, the Gemara tells us, says, you know, not many things allow us to erase Hashem's name. You know, and my son, one of my kids is in fourth grade, is learning. He's in school. He's the only one. But he came home today. It just hit me now. They're learning Parshas Naso. They did Vayikra last year, Naso. He came home with a little piece of cloth with his name on it. Because tomorrow, they're doing an experiment. They're taking like this water, they're going to put the ink and put it into the water to see that it erases, so it could be like a visual aid to realize that Shem Hashem is Nimche when they put the cloth of the Sota into the water. Why do they do that? Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis. So Shem Hashem is allowed to be a race for Shalom Bayis. Right? We know Ner Chanukah and Ner Beso, the Gemara in Shabbos, Afchav Gimel, which most assume mean Shabbos. Shabbos candles or Chanukah candles, which win, Ner Shabbos wins because of Shalom Bayis. And the Arizal writes in one place that the first question that we're going to be asked in the future about V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is about our spouse. That has to be the strongest connection that there is. There's even a fascinating story in Vayikra Rabba. You have it there in source number two. I'm not going to read everything inside because I want to make sure that we get through what we need to get through. There was a story that Rabbi Meir gave shir, and there was a woman that went to the shir, and there's a husband that got upset at the woman for going to Rabbi Meir's shir. She wanted him to be home, and he made a neder. Let me just find the lashon. Let's start with the beginning of source number two. Remeir Avi Yosef Adarish Beleli Shapsa. He gave shir Friday night. That's already a chiddush. He was giving shir on Friday night. Havitaman Chade Itza Yatziva. There was a woman. V'shama Leitanta Midrasha. Right, she always went to the shir. Amtinis Ad Yechsam Mi Midrash Ozla Lebesa. She went home. Ashkenecha Botzina Tvei Amala Baila in Havis. Where have you been? Her husband said. Amrle Anaya Sivna V'shama Kalya Drusha. I heard the drusha. You're never allowed to go back there. He makes a neder until you spit into his face. That's the only way you're allowed to go back to that shir. So she was pretty upset. She wanted to go to the shir. She wanted to ruin her shalom bayis, so she stopped going to the shir. Remeir heard about it, and he tells his students, you know, get the woman to come here. Get the woman to come here. Okay. She wants to. She comes to the Remeir. The woman says, no, you used to come to my shir. Yeah, my husband's not so into it. Remeir says, can I ask you a favor? Sure, you're the Gadol Hador. I have this terrible eye ailment. And the doctor said that the only way that it's going to get better is if somebody spits into my eye. And she says, what are you talking about? She's like, no, I need you to spit into my eye. She says, I'm not going to spit into your eye. No, no, please, I need you to spit into my eye. She says, no, you're the Gadol Hador. Remeir says, if I'm the Gadol Hador, I'm mitzaveh you. Spit into my eye. She spits to his eye, and Remeir says, Shalom Yisrael, go back to your husband, enjoy. And we don't know if she kept going to the shirim, but we see that the Talmidim were even in shock. The Talmidim say to Rabbi Meir, Amar lo Talmid of Rabbi, kach mavazen es haTorah. Right? Well, we could have spit into your eye. You need this woman to spit into your eye? Amar lehu lo daya lemeir liyoshava lekono? I'm no better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name could be erased, so I could get spit into my eye. So the question that we're going to deal with is, as we know, the love, the first time love is mentioned between a couple is in this week's parsha, right? Between, actually next week's parsha, it talks about it, Rivka and well, it's Yaakov. It's mentioned in don't want to get into the chazals and the psukim, but it's mentioned, not the first time love is mentioned, that's last week's parsha, that's a parent and a child, asher ahavta es Yitzchak, but we have it in these parshios of the avos and the himos. And the question is, how does one halacha define love? No, we know it's not what's called romantic love. Hopefully the last source that we'll talk about tonight will be a Rav Hirsch from this week's Parsha. We'll get to that, Be'ez Hashem, in a couple of minutes. But what do we look for, as most of us here in the room are not at that stage yet? But when we start, you know, what are the things to look for in a wife? How do I build a relationship? How do I think about, you know, even though it's not now, but in a number of years from now, how do I strengthen the relationship? These are all things that we think about now, as before we get to the stage of Lamaisa, in order to be able to be ready for when the time comes. And just to learn the value of how Halacha looks at the importance of relationships. So we're going to mention four ideas. Four ideas that have to do with relationships, and really they're important to know now, they're important to know when one starts dating, they're important to know in Shana Rishona, the first year. It's important to know after 25 years of marriage. It's important to know, Zocha, this past Shabbos, my in-law celebrated their 50th anniversary. So it's important to know that, and so on, and even more. So at every stage, these are crucial, as we will see. So four ideas. Idea number one. Any of the topics that we'll talk about tonight is good. You know, Torah to remember for Sheva Brachas, for Uframs, for whenever you have to speak at any type of event like that, any part of what we'll say, is feel free to use it. You have the sources in front of you. So, number one. Idea number one. Says the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Ches. Rav Yehuda asked Astira, two psukim in Bereishis. One pasuk says, Vayivra Elokim es Adam Bitzalmo. Hashem created man in his image. And the other pasuk says, Zachar Nekeva Bira'am. He created them. So did he create him, or did he create them? Singular, plural. Hakeitzad, b'tchila ala b'machshav alivro shnayim, l'basov nivra echad, Hashem originally thought to create man as two, Adam and Chava, or I should say man and woman, and then Hashem, kaviyachol, changed his mind and said, you know what, l'maisa, I'll create one. Hashem created one. And that's, by the way, why we have two Yotzer Ha'adam brachas and Shara brachas, because there are two stages. There's the thought of God, and that is to create two, and then Hashem created one. And then what happened? That he separated Adam and took me two anyway. And then what did he do? He brought Chava back, and then they got married. Or came together. So what's the message? Hashem thought to create two, then he created one, then he separated them into two, and then he brought them back together to become one. What's the message of this chazal? Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes his mind. Whenever there's an idea of Hashem thought this and then did this, there's a message that chazal are trying to impart to us. So the Maharsha says there in Ksubis, source number 5, just like the Gemara says elsewhere, Hashem wanted to create the world with me, this hadin, Hashem saw it was impossible. It wouldn't work. So therefore, he added on, it was b'shadim midas harachamim. So too here, Hashem saw it wouldn't work if he created mankind as two. What does that mean, it wouldn't work? What does that mean, it wouldn't work? So to give a mashal, the Gemara Nida tells us on Daf Lamed, famous Gemara, that in utero we learn Kala Torah Kula. There's no better time in our lives than that time in utero. And Malamda no Tal Kala Torah Kula V'kivin Shabal Avir Olam. When we come out to the world, a mala comes, give us a little patch on our lip, and we forget all the Torah. And there are two opposite questions asked on the Gemara. Number one, once we learn it, why do we cause to forget it? Imagine, you wouldn't have to do any chazara. You just know it. You wouldn't even have to learn it the first time. Right? It would be easy. So what's the answer? Because life's about earning it. Life's not about being given, you know, presents. It's about earning it. Okay, then you have the opposite question. So then why we taught it to us in the first place? If we're going to forget it anyway on the way out by the Malach, then why teach us the Torah if we're going to forget it? So what's the answer? Many Mefarshim explain. It's to create a natural netia of every Jew to Torah. To create that inner connection. said by, in different ways by many, the Pintel Yid, the Nitzot HaKedusha, the inner spark, however you say it. It's that inner connection, and sometimes we feel something. Whether it's some people get it by learning a Ksos, some people get it by being at a Kumsitz, some people get it by having a great davening. However it is, sometimes we have that moment. They're like, oh, that's a womb moment. It's a womb moment, that connection, that netiyah. So every Jew has a netiyah towards Torah and Ruchnius, something natural. Again, there are a lot more sources related to that. Not for now. But that's why we're taught all of Torah. Explains the Marsha. He doesn't use this Gemara. But explains the Marsha. Two people, a man and a woman, they're so different. They're so different. They have different backgrounds. They have different strengths. They have different talents. Usually they like opposite. They like opposite things. One's always cold. One's always hot. One's always this. One's always that. Right? So how did they ever get married? Sometimes you look at people, you're like, how in the world did they get married? Like, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw if he creates mankind, the first man and woman, which is really the model for all men and women, they would never get married because they're so different. They would never come together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore created first as one and then separated them so that when they come back, and then when a husband and wife, when a man and woman come together to get married, it's a reunification. There's a natural netiyah towards each other. That's the message of the Gemara in Ksuba. Hashem wanted to create us as two because we're different. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be have our own strengths and our own things that we're good at and come together as a unit. But Hashem knew that we had to first start together, then be separated, and then come back together. Message number one is that a husband and a wife and a man and a woman are a unit. They're a unit. They're two halves. They're two halves. The Pasuk tells us, and those who were in my shiur last year, we discussed this in Yesh Nochlin. So some of the question about how Yerushas Habal works. So there is a Tosfos there in Yesh Nochlin which says, it's not a regular Yerusha, it's She'erus. She'erus. What is She'erus from the word She'er Basar? So we connected it to a Rashi and a Ramban. Rashi, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, the end of Perek Beis, source number 7. Al ken yazav ish azav avis imo, v'davak b'ishto v'haylo basar echad. A person leaves his parents, has dveikus to his wife and his basar echad, and becomes one flesh. What does it mean, basar echad? So Rashi says, it means the baby. Havlad ha-notzar ha-dei shneihem. Where do a husband and a wife, where do a man and a woman come together as one in the flesh through a child, through offspring? That's Basar Echad. Literally. That's Rashi. Says the Ramban, I don't think this Pasuk means that because it's saying something unique to humans. Even animals have that Basar Echad. They reproduce. So I don't think that's what it's talking about, says the Ramban. Kigama behema v'chaya yula Basar Echad b'tol dosem. Says the Ramban, v'anochon be'enai ki abehema v'chaya ein lohem dveikus b'nikevo sehem. Animals mate, but they don't have a relationship. Even the few animals that are monogamous, they only have one mate, like penguins. It's not like penguins are so loving to each other. Right? That's how Hashem made them. So they only have one mate. Basar Echad means there's a relationship. Basar Echad means that the man and the woman are connected on so many different levels. The Kasher Hayazeb Adam, Husam Bitoldosav Lio Zacharm Dvekim Benishoseyem. They view their mate as one. That's the message, the first message of our discussion, that the couple has to look at each one as half. Up until marriage, we're one. The second that we plan on getting married, we become a half. We go down. And in that way, we become shalem. As we know Chazal tell us. And that's a message that has to be put into the Lamaisa. They say Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once was at a wedding and he was getting a ride home. A Talmud was getting offered to give him a ride home. So he asked the Talmud, can I see your car? So he says, Rabbi wants to see my car, what kind of car I drive? He's like, no, could you just bring it to the front? I just want to check out. He has no idea why does he want to see my car. He only goes in a certain level of car. Right, so he brings it, so Rabbi Yaakov goes in, opens the back seat door, he goes and sits in the back seat, he's like, okay, it's okay. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I want to make sure my wife has enough leg room. you know, his wife would be sitting in the back seat. That's Basar Echad. Right, the famous story of Aryeh Levine, maybe the most famous line that he ever said when he went with his wife to the doctor, our leg hurts. Because it's one unit. It's Basar Echad. Now sometimes, you know, especially more the boys than the girls, I would say, it was like, yeah, we're a team, but I'm the captain. We are one, but I'm the major part of the circle. You know that? No, it has to be Basar Echad. It has to be halves, and in that way, connecting to each other. Focusing on the other one's day, focusing on the other one's, life. Number one. Two becoming one. Part number two. And again, all of that we're saying is obvious, but it's just something. Keep these notes, and Be'ez Hashem, in a couple of years, look back at them. And Be'ez Hashem, we could talk again then. Number two. Love is an action verb, according to halacha. There's a, found this on, I think it's marriage.com. Love is a verb, not a feeling. Everyday life wears away the feel-good side of marriage. Feelings like happiness will fluctuate. But real love is based on a couple's vows of commitment to each other. Love has to be an action verb. What does that mean? Action means giving. Rav Dessler, again, one of the more well-known thoughts that Rav Dessler said, in Kutras HaChesed in Source 11, Rav Dessler says, it's a little rubbed out, we usually think that giving is a result of loving. Parents love their kids so much, so therefore they give them so much. You know, I love my kids, so I'm just going to give them everything. Says Rav Dessler is exactly the opposite. Giving leads to love. The more you give, the more you love. Parents give their children so much, and that itself creates the love and deepens the love. If you have one parent that gives more, then there's a deeper connection between that parent, because that's what is created. Hergana lashov is a nesina l'todos ava ki lasher yehav adam yetiv lo aval hasfar hashniya kasher yehav adam es midei primasav. The more you put into something, the more you connect it to it. You ever have to give a presentation in school? You ever have to do a report or something? You put in so much time, so you're connected to that project. You're connected to that, whatever it is. So it's part of you. So when you give, the more you give, the more you love. And that's crucial for any relationship of growth. When one is in a dating relationship, sometimes it comes up. I have talmidim, rebbe. You know, it's like I just want to learn. I just, you know, going out takes so much time. I'm like, but this is what you have to do. If this is your avodah, this time of your life, right now is not that time of your life. But if this is at that stage of your life, so then this is you have to give. And if you want the relationship to grow, you have to give. You have to put in the time in order to help to grow. Right, Rav Hirsch says, Ahava has in it Hav. Hav is to give. So Aleph, I give. And that's crucial. And what does this mean, giving? On a most basic level, we could talk about on four different levels. Number one, on a most basic level, giving things. Women like getting things. Doesn't matter what those things are. It could be little nothings. But it's a little something that shows I thought of you. And by the way, this isn't just for we're talking about spouses, but, you know, you should send your mother something. You know, we live in an age of, you know, go online, you know, send us something for Shabbos that's cost $10. You know, some little trinket. You know, thinking of you, I know it's hard in Corona, whatever, I know it's so hard to have me away for a year or two. She'll start crying. It'll be unbelievable. And it doesn't like cost much, but little things. For any relationship, giving leads to love. Giving shows I was thinking of you. Little gifts, number one, giving. Number two, giving compliments. It's hard to compliment. We don't live in an age of compliments. We don't need it. When was the last time I gave a compliment to somebody? When was the last time we complimented somebody? It's like so against our grain. Especially think about siblings, forget it. You know, in a house, there aren't so many compliments, but give compliments, but get into the habit of complimenting one's spouse, complimenting one's person who you want to build a relationship with. That's crucial. Can't just be autopilot. Even if a couple has been married for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, they want to know what their husband thinks, how they look. They don't care about anybody else. I mean, they do, but spousal support. I could give a drush up, pre and hopefully post-corona, Be'ez Hashem. There could be a couple hundred people there for the drasha. I want to know what my wife thought of the drasha. I want to know what everybody else thinks too, but it's important to know because it's important to me. So, giving compliments, giving feedback. Number three, giving time. And this is crucial for our generation. Crucial for our generation, which is so pashut, but it's so not done. Rabbi Friend writes, did I bring it? See if I brought it. If not, I'll just mention the quote. I got it. Our lives are so hectic today. Between work, carpool, school, public activities, it's possible for a husband and wife to go days at a time without ever having time to talk. But if they go too many days without sharing their aspirations, hopes, and fears, they may wake up one day and find they're like two ships passing in the night. If you want to spend your lives together, you need to spend your days together. Share your days and you'll share your lives. We think that in this generation, it's so much easier. Now, I don't know, 100 plus years ago, we used to have to go down to the river to get water, go outside to go to the bathroom. Shecht an animal to eat. I don't like plant wheat to make noodles, right? Even, think about it, even when I was growing up, not everybody had a microwave. It's like now, it's like you make what, noodles? How do you warm them up? What do you do before a microwave? You got to actually put them in the stove and on a fire. How long does that take? We should have so much more time in our lives because there's so many things that are done for us. Washing machines, dishwashers. I mean, think about how much more time we have in our life, but we're so busy. Like if we're in a place with bad klita, if it takes me 6 seconds to get online, it's too much. What's wrong? It should be 2 seconds. What's 6 seconds? So we have so much more time, but we still have no time. We have to give time. Giving time shows love and brings love. And I say this as a parent. The kids know when you're talking to them and when you're talking to them, but you're really waiting for an email or a WhatsApp or a whatever. You want to talk to them, leave your phone in the other room. Time is crucial to give. Time is crucial to give. And I mentioned this to couples also, and when you get married and things get busier, one can never forget their husband and wife hat. When things get busy, when they become a father and mother hat, you can never forget the relationship in terms of giving time. And finally, the last one, which again, these messages apply to relationships, obviously, Parshas Chayesar, but they also apply to any relationship, roommates, right? They apply to anything. But this last one is crucial: giving forgiveness. We spoke about giving things, giving compliments, giving... I didn't quote the Archa Sadikim, the anonymous Musar work, which is one of the classics. Yach nefadam le'ishto. Flatter your wife. Flatter your wife. But then the last one is giving forgiveness. Giving forgiveness is an unbelievable vart. Some of you in my share might have heard this before. I might have mentioned it in other contexts. There's a Dasa Kanan from the Bali Atosvas in Parshat Mishpatim that says... a halacha that you don't think is so exciting. I love those psukim that you think is some detail, but then you're like, whoa. The pasuk says that if you have a trefa, what's a trefa? Trefa is an animal that, is not kosher. There's a difference halacha between nevela, trefa. Nevela didn't have a proper shchita. Trefa, might have been shechted, but it had some other internal wound. But the pasuk says, "Upaser basad the treifa lo sochelu." You can't eat a treifa. Lakel tashlichem l'so. Throw it to the dogs. So why do you have to throw it to the dogs? So Rashi quotes on the pasuk, they didn't bark when you left Mitzrayim. Give it to the dogs. Good. Says the Dasa Kanim from the Bali Atosfos in Source 14. Says the Dasa Kanim, even before that, let me ask another question before we see the Dasa Kanim's shot. pasuk says at the end of the story of Adam and Chava, what happened? Terrible sin. Everybody gets punished. Nachash, Adam, Chava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves. The dust settles. What's the very next pasuk? The very next pasuk, right after HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out punishments, what would we expect? And Adam turns to Isha and says, great job. Nobody's ever messed up like that, ever, in the history of the world, and nobody ever will. You brought death to the world. Great job, honey. What would we expect the pasuk to be? Adam turns to Isha and says, I will name you Chava, because you are the mother of mankind. That's the next pasuk. And what's the pasuk after that? Hashem gives Adam and Chava special clothing, kasnosar. What's the hemshech ha-psukim? Hashem only gave them clothing now, after Adam said this. Back to the Das HaKeinim. The Das HaKeinim says, why do we give it to the dogs? What kind of dogs are we talking about? Why the dogs? What are the dogs doing there? So, if you ever saw a herd of sheep, I see them in Beit Shemesh. I go running on the mountain in front of my house, so there's every three times. So you see, there's a herd of sheep. There's like hundreds of sheep with one or two shepherds, and there are two or three dogs. There are watchdogs that like hang out around the sheep. They do that. I see them. What are they there for? They're to guard the sheep, maybe to make sure they don't go out, but also to guard them from predatory animals that might come to that might kill one of the sheep. So what are we talking about? Says the Das HaKeinim. How do you have a treifa sheep? It must be one of the dogs fell asleep on the job. It must be one of the dogs fell asleep, and then a wolf got in and killed one of the sheep, and now you have this treifa. You know what the Torah says? Give it to the dogs. Why give it to the dog? Because you might think the dog messed up. I'm going to give it to the dog. That's why it became a treifa. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, did this dog do his job yesterday? Is the dog going to do his job tomorrow? Keep things in perspective. Give some loyalty. Recognize what this dog does for you day in, day out. There was a bad day. Okay, there was a mess up, but you know what? Put it into perspective. Give it to the dogs. Adam turns to Chava, and he calls her Chava, you're the mother of mankind. He's able to see beyond the moment. He's able to say, it's okay. I know I called you 12 times at work to remind you to do this. I know that. And you didn't do it, but you know what? I could find it in my heart, because I also know I'll do the same thing. The ability to forgive, and there's a Yiddish word. There's no translate. I don't know too much Yiddish. I just know a couple of phrases. Forgin. Just forgive me. Just to be mevater, as it is in Hebrew. Giving is a basis of love as well. So that's point number two. Number one, two becomes one. Number two, giving. Rav Dessler, love is an outgrowth of giving, and not the opposite, and therefore giving on all different levels. All different levels. Number three is a Mishnah. Number three is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah tells us, what's the definition of love? Ava she'eina tluya b'davar. An ava that is not dependent on anything. Ava tluya b'davar is not true love. What's ava tluya b'davar? That's Amnon and Tamar, the terrible tragic story of David's son and daughter. That's ava tluya b'davar. It was tali on his lust. After his lust was fulfilled, the pasuk says he hated her. That's ultimate ava tluya b'davar. What's ava she'eina tluya b'davar? David and Yehonasan. Right, David should have hated Yehonasan. Or Yonatan should have hated David. He was going to usurp the throne. His father was the king. Shaul. But it was Ava she'eina tluya b'davar. It was Ava that's totally, not totally on anything else other than the love itself. And that's why, if you look in Rav Arya Kaplan, next source, in source 16, he has many svarim, but he has one called Made in Heaven. Made in Heaven, it's a sefer that you can sit down with and read in 2 hours. It's all about marriage and the wedding. From you have to have kosher food at the wedding to giving pshatim of every one of the Sheva Brachas. It's a great, great, great read. But there he also says, the first time love is mentioned in the Torah is parent and child. Parent and child. Because that's the ultimate ava she'eina tluya b'davar. The parent loves a child because the child exists. right? Yitzchak and Rivka, right, is the first time between, as I alluded to before, between a man and a woman. But the purest, Avash Inatul Yibadavar, is you love because the other person exists. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was a Rebbe in Beit Shemesh, so he told me that his father, Rav Aaron, Zecharon Levracha, told him, before he was going out with his present wife, he said, on your first two dates, keep your eyes open and your heart closed. And after that, if it's going well, close your eyes and open your heart. So what do you mean by that? Before you get into a relationship, you have to think intellectually, you have to keep your eyes open and your heart closed, don't get emotionally involved until you're sure, until you whatever. But once you know it's the one, just close your eyes. Close your eyes and open your heart. Because you're connected, that's it. It's Ava Shein and Tuliyah Bedavar. There's an amazing Malbim on next week's Parsha. Next week's Parsha. The Malbim says that Yaakov Avinu worked for Rachel for another 7 years. Right, we know he was tricked. And the Pasuk says, and they went by very quickly. It was like in his eyes, like nothing. Bavaso Osa. It was like, Yom Achadim, quick. Because he loved her. So first of all, what does it mean that he loved her? Ask the Malbim. If you love something and you can't get it, doesn't time go slower? Let's say I love, I don't know, a certain restaurant. And you can't go there. Like every time you can't go there, you're like, oh, another day I can't go there, another day I can't go there. Oh, by the way, restaurants are those places that are like give food and you could go there and buy and maybe even sit down sometimes. It's a foreign concept for especially those who haven't left this campus in a while. But, Beit Hashem. Anyway, so usually if you can't have something, so then it goes shorter. Like, he loved her, so he couldn't have her, so shouldn't time go slower? What does it mean time went faster? So says the Malbim, unbelievable. The Malbim says, let's say a person says, I love pizza. Does he really love pizza? If he really loved pizza, he'd buy a pie, he'd put it in glass and frame it and put it on the wall. He doesn't love pizza, he loves himself, and pizza makes me feel good. That's why I love pizza. That's Avas Atzmo. That's, I love me, and pizza makes me feel good. That type of love, if I don't have it, time goes slower if I can't get to it. That's not real love. You love pizza, you love fish, you love this, you don't love that, you love yourself, and those things make you feel good. But Avas Hadavar, if it's really love of the other being, the other person, what the person stands for, and you value them, you're like, whoa, that's a different type of love. And the excitement builds as the time gets closer to the connection, and time can even go faster. That's the Malbim. The Malbim on this pasuk. The quote that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, there were four great gdolim of the 19th century that saved Torah because they connected Torah Shebal Peh into, and Torah Shebichsav, and they showed how Torah is Chai V'Kayim in our world, even during the Reform movement and the Haskalah. The four great gdolim of the 1800s that showed how Torah is Chai V'Kayim. The Malbim, the Ksav HaKabbalah, the Meshech Chachma, and Rav Hirsch. Those are four of the greats of the 1800s that showed how Torah is Chai V'Kayim. So this Malbim is a very modern thought, so to speak, but it's not. It's an ancient thought. But this is classic. Shechashev b'dayto, shavodas asheva shanim, rak yom machadim, lefi erech yikras Rachel. He loved Rachel, not because how good Rachel made him feel. He loved Rachel because he valued who Rachel was and what she symbolized. Ba'avaso, that's the last two words of the pasuk. Ba'avaso osa, he loved her. Ki avas acheshek, hu avas atzmo, lo avas hadavar. Av avas hatov, oivas hadavar hatov, lo es atzmo. That's ava she'ena tuli b'davar. And that's crucial for any relationship. Because two people will never, ever be the same person. There will always be differences. There will always be things that one of the spouses get wrong. The husband will always go to the store and buy the wrong thing. You know, there are certain things that just look alike. Burgal and quinoa and this and that. There are six types of grains. And this type of vegetable, especially you try to go in Israel, you think it means this, and you don't know which of the green long leaves, if it's celery, if it's dill, if it's leek. And there are other things that, you know, each of the spouses have their trouble. They will never be the same person. So we have to recognize, avashi and tuli b'davar. It's a tuli on anything. One's always hot, one's always cold. That's a given. But avashi and tuli b'davar. You're one, you're giving, and you close your eyes and you open your heart. Right? Venus and Mars is the famous book, but it's true. Men and women are from different areas of outer space. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu, made us. Rabbi Reisman, in his one of his svarim, he has a great sefer on Navi. You don't have it in front of you. He tells a story. He says there was a couple that once came to him, and if you know Brooklyn at all, you'll appreciate the story even a little bit more. There was a couple that came to him, shalom bias issues, and the husband, they were talking about all different things, and the husband says, you know what really annoys me? You know what really gets me upset? Every time my wife goes to Avenue J is a very busy shopping, she always gets parking tickets. She always gets parking tickets. It's a place where it's impossible to find a spot. You have to go in. There's this, there's that. She always gets parking tickets. It's so frustrating already. It's just... Shabbat Reisman said, I turned to the guy and I said, let me ask you a question. How many years have you been married? I don't remember. 15? 10? 15? How many years has she been getting parking tickets? 15. He said, let me ask you. You get a gas bill every month? Yeah. You get an electric bill every month? Yeah. In this country, you get a water bill every month? Yeah. You know what? Why don't you just look at it as the parking ticket bill? It's not going to change right now. This is just the way it is. Just expect that this is the reality, and why is it worth your shalom bias? So you have the electric, the water, the parking ticket, the shopping. It's just another bill of the month. And he said all of a sudden something clicked. And it's about an expectation, and that was it. And he said it changed such a stress. Because it should be avashi and tuli. It's not an ava that's totally on parking tickets. It's avashi and tuli b'davar. And finally, by the way, one Rabbi Mordechai Willig, he always tells young Hasanim, you're going to go to a lot of weddings, Bez Hashem, have a shalom bias sefer. Right? Your father, I'm sure, has heard this from him. What's a shalom bias sefer? It's that go-to sefer when you're ready to go to the wedding and she's not. She's not going to get ready faster by saying, are you almost ready? That's going to be just annoying. You can say once, I'm ready, I'm downstairs learning. Have that sefer that when you're ready to go, just take out the sefer and learn for a couple minutes. Better to miss 10 chuppas than to impinge on one's shalom bias. Again, it's all part of avashin tuli b'davar. Finally, the last point, it's an avoda. Relationships are not automatic. They require work and focus, constant watering. Focus on the family.com. The grass is greenest when you water it. Successful couples have learned to resist the grass is greener myth. Someone else will make me happy. They have learned to put their energy into making themselves and their marriage better. It's a focus. It needs to be a focus. That's why there's a mitzvah of Shana Rishona, one of the 613. Because the first year especially, to focus on each other, to focus on building the relationship. The Torah recognizes that it's a challenge, but you know, that's what we have to work to do. And that's Rav Hirsch on this week's parsha. The Pasuk says, after the lengthy discussion, and Rivka comes back, and Yitzchak brings her into the tent of Oel Sarah, Rashi quotes, the three things came back. What did the Pasuk say? He brought her into the tent. I think I gave it to you. Second to last source. Ve'yavyeh Yitzchak Oel Sarah Imo. Ve'yehaven, he loved her. Ve'nachim Yitzchak Achra Imo. Ask Rav Hirsch. You have the Hebrew. Rav Hirsch was written in German. So you could have the English translation or the Hebrew translation. Here you have the Hebrew. Ask Rav Hirsch. What do you mean that he brought her into the tent and then he loved her? Doesn't love come before? You love somebody and therefore you get married. What does it mean that he brought her into the tent, he married her, and then he loved her? Why is love after? says Rav Hirsch, because an engaged couple think they're in love. They think, oh, this is it. That's the first seed. That's the first seed. Real love comes afterwards. And you build on it. And you work. Some of you might be zocha to have grandparents that you see holding hands under the table. You know, 65, 70 years of marriage. You know, that's a different type of connection and loyalty. I see my own parents, or zocha, and Meav Esrim, been married over 60 years. There's a certain level of loyalty and love that's built because effort is put in. And that one word in the Torah teaches us that. The fact that Vayehavel is not put before Vayevi'el Yitzchak. It's put afterwards. Because says Rav Hirsch, we don't believe in romantic love that we see in Hollywood or out there in the movies or in the world. Love is afterwards. Love is a process. Love is an avoda. And it never stops. And one has to keep on giving. So if we look at each other as one, if we keep on giving, if it's Avash and Atuliyah Badavar, and if we look at it as an avoda, an important avoda in our life, because that's how Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world that it should be with couples. That's the natural state of man, to be married. That's the natural state of man. We should all be zocha to get the messages of Parshas Chayesara, to make ourselves people. Again, right now we could condition ourselves to become people who are giving people, who are ready to connect to other people, who focus on others. And Be'ez Hashem, everyone should be zocha to, in the right time, find the right one, and Be'ez Hashem, build batei ne'eman, no, but the plural is, batei ne'eman b'Yisrael. Be'ez Hashem, there'll be another, there'll be a Monday shiur in the halacha section where we'll go through later in the year, about a marriage, going through the whole wedding. You know, halachically, minhagim start to finish, but Be'ez Hashem, this was some of the hashkafa behind it. Go. And by the way, next time, call me before.